Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Luke 10 verses 1 through 3. Yeah. If you hadn't noticed the theme of the last few weeks is go. 6 years ago, I believe, our Every Nation conference was called Go. 3 years after that, go. The mandate to go into all the world, preach the gospel, teaching them to observe and to do all that are written, that's been given to everyone. But in order to do it, you've got to say, yes, Lord. Here am I, send me. If you want to know the overall objective of the last few weeks of preaching and today is to get simply a yes. For you and I to dismiss all the excuses as the reason why we cannot go. You know, what an ambitious thing for the Lord to drop in Bishop Rice's spirit, every nation in our generation, in every campus. And last night we learned it's not just every campus, it's every student. And when you begin to think about it, it's overwhelming. But yet he appointed us to go. So what you're going to learn is the first point of my man, you're appointed to go. You have an appointment to go. And it's not just your appointment. Someone else has an appointment with destiny when you show up. You're appointed to go. But the objective of this message, the end result of this message, the end result of what I want to happen, independent of everything else, is that you to have a yes. I am bringing our entire church to an altar call moment. This morning I was on the altar. I just did the altar call and just walked down front. No one in here can be too proud to say yes to the Lord. No one can be too proud to acknowledge when you've missed God's greatest emphasis in your life. Going is not for the big timers. Don't take this the wrong way, Bishop Rice, but I'm tired of hearing about where he went. He ain't even in Iceland, he going to Korea, he going to Indiana, Arkansas. And I can't just say, would you slow down and let us get to some places? He's going, but he is established that he said yes. His word was always be ready to pack your bag. But he didn't, but if you're a friend with him, it's really, we need to be ready to pack our bags. We're always going. And one of the things you'll find in the first part of this text, we read it together, Luke 10, and we're going to talk about the whole chapter, but just the first three verses, you're going to see that he begins to give us a formula for success. Ready? Read. Now, I love this story because it shows me a sequence. Whenever the Lord of glory looked down on humanity and the problem and the mess that we were in, he did not turn a blind eye. He did not look away, but he looked and he said, prepare me a body. Then he made a prophetic announcement. Then he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book is written to me. Then he actually did something. He came to us. He came at the appointed time to do the appointed assignment, which was to seek and save that which was lost. That's the first one. Then in chapter 9, we see that he sent out his 12 disciples, his apostles, his pupils, his students. He got them on the mission, and he gave them power. And if the narrative would have stopped there, I would have believed that I was a part of a great faith. But in chapter 10, we see he appointed 72 others. I don't know exactly why he didn't give those other people's name. Because I would have liked to be named if I was in the, you know, a significant group like this, you know, like name me, you know, that's what I get out of it. But he doesn't name them, and I love that because it makes me understand how included I am in this group, how qualified I am. That Jesus didn't just stay with those who were quote unquote closest to him. This mandate was bigger than just a few people. He has 72 others. Now, the uniqueness about these others is that they're just obscure. We don't know who they are. So you can imagine that they were the strongest, or you can imagine that they were the weakest. I can imagine with 72 people, it was just all over the map. But the mandate didn't change. The one uniqueness I see is that he sent them out two by two. One of the reasons I don't believe we actually do the work of going out, do the work of evangelism, is because we're too alone, too isolated, and there is no accountability because there is no depth of friendship or partnership when doing your mission. And if he that is left alone will meet destruction, two is better than one. Who is your prayer partner? Who is your ministry partner? Who's got your back? Who's telling you when you're absolutely tired, when you want to give up, when you want to ignore the word of faith, when you want to say you're going to go, but you're not going to do anything? Who's going to push you? One of the first things Pastor Rice said to me when I got to this church is that we are going to be going. He didn't say, you know, I go and you can support me. He said, we are going to be going. He included me in his mission. That's how I end up leading the church. Who do you include? Never do ministry alone. Who are you inviting along the journey? The first part of our path in the go category is just share your faith. But the next part is to lead a group. Don't do it alone. Now, yes, Holy Ghost, I'll stop here because people are alone. I know you would like me to move on. I would like to move on. But the Holy Ghost just helped me understand that you actually have been hearing the messages of your church, and you've actually been convicted about getting out of isolation, and you're actually not doing anything about it. And I lovingly, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, encourage you to reach out and be friendly with someone, because you cannot make it alone. You won't be successful alone. He sent them out two by two. The other thing is, he sent them out to preach the kingdom, God's way of doing and being right. He sent them out with his same love and compassion. He sent them out and he told them, I want you to pray about laborers. I want you to go out. And he says, I want you to go out as lambs amongst wolves. Now, what animal can eat a wolf? Just name it. Name the animal that's the enemy to the wolf. A bear. So he said, we're going out as lambs among wolves. I'm a bear. I eat wolves. When I go out amongst wolves, I go out to eat them, destroy them, demolish them, to ruin their life. I am the anti-wolf man. And yet he's telling me to leave my strength. He's appointed me to go and leave my strength behind. He doesn't want me to go as the wolf killer. He wants me to go as the wolf meal. You see, oftentimes we're willing to do our evangelism as long as it can turn into a confrontation, a good debate on faith. Are you a Fox News guy or a CNN? Where you land on the spectrum? And somehow your gospel has got intertwined with culture as if they're the same thing. You're a lamb. You're not sent to go and fuss somebody. Let me tell you what your nasty self, what's going on. You're just messing the world up. You know, no, that's not, he didn't ask you to do all that. He didn't ask you to snub your nose, to look down on people, to make evaluation. Here, I'm going to prove it, because if you read lower, he says, when you get to a house, if your peace stay, I want you to stay there, and I want you to fellowship to the degree that you eat whatever's put before you. Not only are you going into an environment where you're food for the wolf, you're not going to fight, you're not going to judge. You're not going to define what their home is all about. Eat what's put before you. Now, if you do like Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist, you're going to end up in some homes. Okay? You're going to end up with some neighbors and people. My Indian neighbors constantly invite me over to eat food I've never seen before that they were cooking in the garage. They cooked that in the garage. I'm watching the garage pot. I'm thinking, I don't understand the sanitary. And I would be over there. Now, a couple of times, I don't recommend this for you, but what I would do is look like I was biting it, which feels like a lie now when I'm telling the story. And then I just kind of toss it, put it in my pocket. But here's the problem. They keep giving it to you. And then, because one time I went out with somebody I wanted to reach, eat whatever put before you, but you know, somebody put a drink before me, because you know, I don't drink alcohol. I'm not saying, if you're alcoholic, you just don't get drunk. Man, that got no amens. gosh, I didn't even tell you in the South not to drink. You can't, don't get drunk. I will come back to this. And so I'm telling on myself. So I'm not telling you to do this, and I'm not telling you I did the right thing. But every time they turn their head, I will pour my drink into the plant. But they kept bringing me one. And then I was thinking to myself, they're going to think I'm getting drunk. So I was messing up. So you want to use some wisdom. Eat what's ever put before you. I've been in houses where they cooked the food, and I saw with my own eyes the roaches. I'm going somewhere with this mess. You can't judge. I am going somewhere. You going to reach people? You're going to be uncomfortable. And I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit say, don't act like you see that. Because, you know, when you see a roach, the first thing is like, ooh. But, say, no. And I feel those, and don't even eat it like you're concerned. So I have to eat it. I just give you one more, just having a saying. Pastor Ron Lewis and I were in Jordan. And with Syrian refugees who'd escaped from the camp. I don't know where they got the glasses from or the juice that we was drinking and eating on the floor. And I could get through that. But when the cats came and touched my cookie. And I just ate it fast. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, if you want to be like him, you must first deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him, his example, his stewardship. Think about Jesus. Jesus has the most palatial home that ever existed. I'm talking about when he was the Word, the eternal Son. The most palatial ever existed. Do you know how humiliating it is for him to come to us, wrap himself in the likeness of sinful flesh, and then, be joyful? I think when they say he was a man acquainted with sorrow, he kept remembering, man, up in heaven, you know, they serve you night and day. I got to make my own food down here, you know. I don't know what he was thinking, but it just wasn't easy. But that's like our Savior. He was appointed to go. The disciples were appointed to go. The 72 was appointed to go. And Bethel, as disciples and disciple makers and the laborers for the harvest we pray for, you are appointed to go. But this going is not throwing you out. Get out there and do something. This is you saying, here I am, send me. Yes, I'll go. Now, when they went, the Bible says, when you get to a city, if you go on in those verses, he said, what I want you to do is still eat what's put before you, heal the sick when you get there, preach the kingdom, minister to the needs of the people. See, a lot of times we want to get in and get out. I know I'm appointed to go. I know I'm appointed to preach the gospel. I just want to, you know, I got 2 o'clock on Wednesday on my schedule. I got about an hour, maybe 90 minutes if it goes long. After that, Lord, in 2 more weeks, I can fit you in. See, when you go, you also have to minister. And when you minister, it's going to take longer. See, you can preach the gospel in about 2 minutes. But ministry, Pastor Rice, when you go do a Gospel Not Dead event and you do the event, sometimes the ministry lasts as long as the event itself. See, I know I was appointed to go, but I didn't know I was appointed to stay and keep on helping people. Debbie's brother, Ronald Winans, discipled me. It was a great discipleship. But it was 24-hour discipleship. We would show up at the gas station, college students. I would hear Ronald in the front. Say, Jane, yes, sir. Your turn. Turn for what? See them, that group of people over there? Go out and minister to them, preach the gospel. I said, what that mean? What you want me to do? He explained it. And what I did, my secret was to keep him talking long enough for them people to get going. That's what I did. They would go. The next day, I said, Jane, your turn. I said, I just had a turn. No. You don't get it. So go out there and minister the gospel to them. I go out there and I preach, get back in the car around. He said, how'd you go? I said, man, I preached to them. I let it out. It was good. It was great. He said, all right, what's the guy's name? I said, I don't know. He said, did you get his phone number? I said, what do I need that for? He said, did you pray for him? I said, didn't they ask me? You see, I just was doing a job on a checklist. It had nothing to do with my heart. Jesus, when he went, he was moved by compassion. He loved what he was doing. He had a purpose. I didn't love people. Now, it was still good to do it, even to get your love to catch up, but I didn't. And Ronald would say, look, go back, get the guy's number, call him. You know, love him. And I said these words to him. I don't got time for that. That's what I said. My little 19-year-old self. He said, do you think I got extra time to check on you every day? For 6 years? I said, well, no. He said, you got time. If you catch a fish, you also clean it, care for it. You know, that's what they would say. See, that's discipleship. That's why it's not just in our step go. You go share your faith, but then you lead a life group. You have to lay foundations and work with people and get in their life. And I'm not talking about the type of minister to them, to lord over them. Right. There's my disciples. Look at them. Hey. Quote me some scriptures, y'all. Come on. No. Do you know I believe that Jesus' friendships were intertwined with his discipleship relationships. Pastor Rice is clearly my senior, but he also affords an opportunity for friendship. You know, I lead Bible study, but Richard and Dana, they're my boss, but they're my friends. We mutually exchange struggles. I said, so if you want to be in a discipleship relationship where you can just feel power, you don't know Christ. We're in discipleship relationships because we're all just helping each other follow Jesus. And as Pastor Steve Merle says, if you want to be the leader, just stay one chapter ahead. So you just have something more to say in the group at the time. But you must minister to people. So when you come across someone that's sick, it is a signal to you you're to go to them. Get them healed by the power of Jesus. You're not doing the healing. Jesus is doing the healing. You're doing the ministry. You're delivering the word of life. You're delivering the kingdom to them. You're delivering righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You've been appointed to minister. He said, what about the people who won't listen to you? He said, don't worry about it. Just go announce to them that the kingdom has still come to you, even if you reject it. Do you know my job is not to save anybody? It's to plant a seed or water a seed and wait on God to give the increase. On the day of judgment, God will line everybody up and he'll show them the tape of how many times they've been ministered to. But we don't want God to show us the tape of how many times we failed to minister. Remember, the point of this message is to get you to say yes to going. Now let me give you the final thrust of this. It is very simple. If you read the final three verses, the people went out and they came back rejoicing, saying, Jesus, check this out, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. The demons, they listen to me. When I go out, you know, stuff happens. Isn't it funny how we can draft in someone else's power and we can easily take the credit? Demons, listen to me. Demons, hush up. I was hushing them, Lord. It's amazing how we can inflate our role in the kingdom. You have a role, you have a responsibility, but the Bible said he that plants and he that water the same, they're nothing. It's Christ who gives the increase. What he says to them, he said, look, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I saw the biggest takeover of all time at the key point of evil. Don't be impressed with that. He said, just be impressed at your name. It's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Like Paul said it, after I preach to others, I myself don't want to become a castaway. Church, stand to your feet for this last part of this message. I want you to know you were appointed to win, not lose. You know, when I was in university on the football team, they didn't want to have any gospel presentations. We had no like chapel service, nothing. And so I was just running through there, just preaching to everybody. And one day, one of the big fellas on the team, I was just a little red shirt freshman, and came up to me and said, Jane Lowe, tired of you. Preaching to us every day, preaching, talking about Jesus and everything. Said, you know what? Don't say another thing about Jesus and the Bible because I'm sick of hearing you. And he said, if you say something else, he said, I'm gonna come over there and whoop you. Now, that's what we say when I was growing up. Well, I'm gonna whoop you. And I want to tell you the truth. You know, when I'm boastful about who I'm gonna beat up and everything, I'm a bear, that's a wolf. That's because I think I can beat them. This particular guy, I knew I couldn't beat him. So I was kind of paralyzed, like, whoa, what are we gonna do, Jesus? So the bear in me became a cub. I was cub low. And all of a sudden, from a voice behind me, sitting on the bench, a guy named Walt Campbell, that was bigger than the guy that was talking to me, he said, Hey, Sion, when you get done whooping on James Lowe, I'm going to whoop on you every day. Not every. Every day. Every day I'm going to whoop on you. We like James Lowe preaching. Let that preacher preach. We enjoying his stuff. And when he throw that gospel music in there, we like that. So you be quiet. And I just said, oh, hey, well, let me tell you about the Lord right now. Hey, Jesus Christ, I just went a little deeper that day. Because now I understood, I always win when I go out. And I don't know what I'll face, but a yes, Lord, not only has deliverance for the person you're ministering to, it has protection for you and reward in heaven. You never, ever, ever lose by going into all the world to preach. Tonight, Pastor Rice and myself will be downtown at the Spark Building. It's newly renovated down from the old Ryman Building. Doing an outreach called Free. Faith, reason, evidence, experience. He's reaching 25 and under, helping them walk through their faith, what he's done all over the world. It's an outreach. We don't know what we're going to get. We don't know. We don't know. But you know you're going to get nothing if you don't go. What am I going to get? Nothing. Now, I tell you this. If nobody shows up to the meeting, typically what he and I would do, we're going to go out and walk the street. Y'all might see us on the news down there. We ain't going in the bars. Well, we might go in if we got to pull a brother out. You got to go. I didn't tell you that about he and I, because really it's us going so that you can be impressed with what we're doing. Because it wasn't just Jesus. It wasn't just the 12 disciples. It was the 72 others. I'm telling you that God has given you some unique things that you can do. Do them. Do them. So today, here's the altar call. I told you I was bringing an altar call today. And here it is. I have been praying along with the eldership of this church and the pastors and leaders for laborers for the harvest. For over a decade, maybe two decades. And only to be reminded by the Lord that you have the laborers and it's you. So what's required for all of this to work? Yes, Lord. The first thing I told you in the message. The first service, I had to walk all the way down, but I did my work. I'm not coming down this service. But already responded. But 100% of people who are saying yes to sharing your faith, yes to leading people after you reach them, yes to going on local mission, yes to going. You can no longer just be the person out there. How much qualification do you need? Well, let's see. The woman at the well was confused, potentially sinful, but she came back with a whole town with a broken gospel. Just come see a man who might be the Messiah. You don't need much. You just need a willing heart to go. Today is your altar call. Yes, I'm calling you up. You must come out of your seat and you must come as close as you can and surrender your life to Jesus for the purposes of his mission. For his mission. And maybe, I know the message has touched you right where you are.
If you've watched this message and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, I've got good news. You can do it right now. I want you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life for the rest of my life. I acknowledge I am a sinner. I need you, my Savior. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead on the third day. And I confess that you are now Lord of my life. If you've just prayed that prayer, I have good news for you. You have eternal life. The next step for you is to get in a Bible-believing church We volunteer to be that church. But if not us, we pray God's blessings on you as you search for God's best for you. Thank you.